So first, a roadmap. A few things about the context of what I'm going to talk about. Then I will tackle the relationships between regulatory authorities and the regulated radios, and tackling several items relating to regulation. And then I will end with a few conclusions. So first, to set the background or the context. So there is a working group within the DPRA whose aim, objective, is to exchange information and good practices about local and community media. So including community radios, community TVs, local radios and local TVs. So we try to tackle the specific challenge of each, because the challenges are not always the same for all the media. So we make surveys, and information that I'm going to share with you comes from the analysis of these surveys that are the way to get information from the regulatory authorities. First, about the supranational level, as Francesco mentioned this morning, we have the European institutions. Some of them have addressed the issue of community media, which is the case of the European Parliament in 2008 and of the Council of Europe in 2009. So there are some absentees on this slide. That is the executive power of the European Union, that is the European Commission. But one has to admit, one has to realize that the European Commission has never shown an interest into radios and, to say the least, about community radios. The European Commission does consider that the radios are a matter that fall within the powers of member states, because these are local markets, or rather national markets, so the European Commission has nothing to do with it. Contrary to other issues, such as moving to digital TV, that has been largely discussed by the European Commission. So maybe a double speech within the European Commission about issues relating to radios, and the community radios are maybe the victims of such a lack of interest. At a national level, there is the Community Media Forum Europe, which, with the support of the EPRA members, tried last year to list the number of community radios in each country. It's been a particularly difficult exercise because, as we saw this morning, there is a broad diversity in the definitions given to community radio. So depending on each national definition of community radio, the counting of these can differ very much from country to country. On this slide, we see that there are a lot of countries where there is not much, especially in small countries, countries of Central and Eastern Europe mainly. And France is in a peculiar situation. We'll have the occasion to come back to that later in the afternoon or tomorrow. France is the best pupil, is the champion of community radios with 600 radios, and the nearest competitor, the Netherlands, only have 286. So that brings us to the liquid recognition and distinctive criteria. So how can we distinguish these community radios from the others? So it's a key question. Indeed, community radios do claim a separate place in the market. They are peculiar in the fight to get frequencies. So to be able to grant legal, legal recognition to a radio is key when it comes to create community radios or to allow them to survive. So the common criteria that we already tackled this morning are as follows. When countries have criteria, these are most of the time traditional criteria, very classical criteria. Must be a non-for-profit association, a non-profit radio with a local focus. That's one of the other criteria. No advertising or very little advertisements. That kind of radio is controlled and managed by the members of the community it aims at. A community radio adds to the diversity of the media landscape. Or it another criterion is the social gain. It's the social added value of the media. And with a focus on given cultural minorities. So these are global criteria that are more or less used in the countries that do acknowledge a legal status to community radios. But there are different approaches. We have, for example, the French approach compared to the French-speaking part of Belgium or compared to the British approach. So these two approaches are very different. Indeed, in France, as we said this morning, France and Belgium had more or less the same definition of a community radio. That is true, but France has a very broad definition. To be a community radio in France, you don't have to apply in the right category and being an NGO suffices. Whereas in Belgium, one needs to comply with that criterion, and on top of it, the regulatory authority does perform a very strict control of the contents to make sure that the content is respected. So the criterion on structure is not enough. There is also a criterion on the content. In the United Kingdom, it is more linked to licensing or concessions, contracts signed between the regulatory authority and the licensed radio, and they both negotiate about the content commitments that will be that will have to be respected by the radio and by the authority. So these are different models about the way to acknowledge, about the way to grant legal recognition. Then, the licensing procedure. If community radios are not considered separately in the licensing process, there is much likelihood that they will be negatively discriminated against. Let me give you one example of this. Among the legal provisions, there may be an evaluation provision about the economic viability of the radio. If the regulatory authority does not take into consideration voluntary work in the framework of economic viability, there is a risk, there is a likelihood that community radios will have to compete to get frequencies, and these radios may well be discriminated against more commercial radios. Well, the ideal situation is to have a totally separate procedure applying to community radios, which is the case in the United Kingdom. I've also given the example of the Montenegro country, where community radios want to get a license to operate as a community radio do not have to go through calls for tenders, calls for bid. They just have to approach the regulatory authorities, and depending on the availability of frequencies, they will be granted, they will be assigned some frequencies. There are other cases where there is no such a separate licensing procedure. But in a unified procedure of distribution of resources, there is a share of frequencies which is dedicated to community actors, community radios. So that's another way of doing, and we will get some examples of this later. As I was saying before, there may be no decision-making process for community radios, but regulatory bodies can construe the law in such a way that it doesn't discriminate against community radios, for example, the economic viability criteria. And there are other countries, such as Denmark, which among the criteria do include the social gain or cultural gain. This is why community radios can achieve something in a competitive framework. Once a radio is licensed, the next issue relates to the terms of specifications and the requirements and obligations for radios. So there is huge diversity in the different European countries. Because the question is, do community radios have more or less obligations than the other media? It depends on the level of requirements set by the regulatory authorities. In countries such as France and Belgium, there are terms of specification that are quite strict to abide by, but there are also different cultures of regulation that require less from radios. What we observe, in the answers given by regulatory authorities, they've said we haven't so much made it easier for community radios. On the contrary, since they have privileges, since they benefit from a specific status, they have to be more accountable than the others. So these specific constraints are twofold. We have structural requirements and requirements linked to the content. As to the structural requirements, we have, for example, the obligation to be a non-profit association, or constraints relating to the resources. So the revenue from advertising should not be higher than a certain level or not be allowed at all. Then it also has to do with the control. Who does control the association? In some countries, for example, those controlling the radio must be established in the broadcasting radium of the radio. As to the content requirements, one of the constraints may be a specific program aiming at cultural ethnic groups, or specific programs focusing on specific subjects. Among all these requirements, it is interesting to see that most of the time these aim at reinforcing, strengthening these community radios. That gives a very interesting an idea about the relationship between the regulatory bodies and community radios. Most of the time, regulatory bodies are seen as actors that do impose requirements and that do limit the natural development of licensed media. For example, they're going to limit the freedom of advertising in commercial media. They will impose limitations to their development. You cannot reach a specific threshold of audiences, etc. So these are different elements that will hinder their natural development. Whereas with community media, the regulation is in the opposite. It goes into the other direction. It's a regulation that will encourage them to develop more. So as a regulatory body, it's quite nice to be seen that way. In some cases, there is the issue of financial support. So it's not a total support to community radios, but because not all states do financially support community radios. So most of the time, the financial support is a cultural tool, instrument. It will influence the landscape one way or the other. For example, in the United Kingdom, the fund that supports community radios mainly aims at budget items that will reinforce the financial autonomy of such radios. For example, for fundraising, the actions that will be funded are actions that do promote the financial autonomy of such radios. In other cases, there is indirect funding through intermediaries, such as federations of radios. I think that Céline will address this in the case of Ireland. The funds that support community radios do come from funding sources in line with a specific policy. For example, the fund to radio production in Belgium. The money which is used to enrich the content of radios, the fund which is used to help them, comes from part of the revenue of commercial and public radios that do advertise. By and large, and this is also one specific characteristic of community radios, the funding sources are very diversified, and local authorities are most of the time very good partners to community radios. They have understood the value of such radios, and they are prone to fund these radios. I think the Belgian radios presented here are quite familiar to that funding source. There are also possibilities to reduce the cost, for example, license fee exemption, which is the case in Belgium, in Serbia, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, in Montenegro. All these countries have taken part in the survey. Once all this is ready, there is the day-to-day interaction between the regulated and the regulatory bodies. In the European cultural background, regulatory bodies have been created to oppose, to resist big actors, public services, multinationals. They have not necessarily been created to interact with small-sized actors, weak actors that may not always be well informed by the legislation. They have been created to set up a dialogue with legal services, lawyers, and so we've asked the following question: how do regulatory bodies manage relationships on a daily basis with these specific actors? Because these community radios are remote actors. In Brussels, for example, you cannot have reception of a radio in Beaumont. There are regulatory bodies that have decentralized offices, which is the case in France, in the United Kingdom, in Bosnia and Herzegovina as well. There are two decentralized offices in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And one of the tools to control radios is the monitoring of the programs. And for community radios, the standard has been set in such a way that archives have to be set up, so there is no full recording of the programs of these radios. So these community radios are small actors with limited or no staff. So there is a risk to lose the momentum. So one has to make sure that there are regular meetings with radios to make sure that they are well aware of the legislation, of the changes in legislation. So this is done in Switzerland, in Belgium. So there are regular meetings with the radios, between radios and regulatory bodies. Sometimes you have community radios with a limited staff or staff which is not paid. So that staff cannot be available during opening hours because they have another job. So there are regulatory bodies that organize meetings on Saturdays to make sure that the voluntary workers will be able to attend. So these are quite very specific things, but if not taken into consideration, that model can easily be discriminated against compared to other actors. So it's if a regulatory authority really wants to seriously take into consideration these community media, they have to take all these matters into well consideration.
Unfortunately, fortunately, in some cases there is support and help available between regulatory authorities and community radios. There are countries where federations have been set up to play different roles. First of all, providing services for radios in terms of training, in terms of capacity building, shared technical services. These federations also act as facilitators with radios, between radios and authorities. So the federation, for instance, can be called upon by public authorities to provide an opinion about regulatory and legal changes. They can also serve the interests of radios at higher level, for instance, with collective management societies that manage IP rights collectively. And of course, in some countries, federations are legally recognized, accredited, and funded to play that role. This is true in Ireland, in the Netherlands. I suspect we'll hear more detail about this later. But clearly, in those countries where federations are strong, are funded, and are indeed playing this intermediary role, the added value is huge for community radios themselves. Because clearly, it's very hard for a multiplicity of very small organizations to survive, especially as community radios generally exist in very limited local geographical areas. And so organizing yourself as a federation provides substantial added value. One comment about the digital switchover. Quite important in this context is how radio is covered in this switchover plan. Many regulatory authorities recognize that they don't have a clearly identified plan for the digital switchover. There will be examples, one of which from Switzerland, where multiplexing is done locally for community radios. I guess Marcel will be saying a few words about that. So a number of stakeholders have provided a place for community radios in their digital broadcasting arrangements with, as I said, local DAB multiplexes. Also, another issue is whether there is support funding for the digital changeover or switchover in countries. There are a few examples. In some countries, there's a fund that could be used, but it hasn't been leveraged for that purpose yet. Another interesting idea is that regulatory authorities often consult public opinion to try and get a feel for what different stakeholders want, and there's often a considerable gap between radios, especially community radios, that aren't interested in these consultations, so they won't, either they won't take part in the, they won't respond to these consultation processes, or they will do so very negatively because they believe that these are essentially private sector efforts and commercial efforts, and they're not interested. When asked about their perception of the digital switchover among community radios, most said it's commercially driven, it won't be good for us, except in countries where there is more of a systematic dialogue with authorities. Because in those countries, community radios can progressively understand that it can be to their advantage too. But of course, there is a need to clearly identify the ins and outs of the whole issue. A few words by way of conclusion, but I've said most of what I wanted to say already. There's considerable diversity in terms of concepts and practice. This diversity is an asset, And so it wouldn't make sense to try and standardize community radios as a concept. But this diversity is also a weakness, a liability, because on an international level, anyone and everyone can claim to be a community radio if you adopt an inclusive definition of what a community radio is. And so it can become difficult for the genuine community radio sector to effectively lobby upon European authorities for proper consideration and recognition. And so this creates a difficulty also when it comes to talking to the European Commission. As I said, there is a lack of transnational support, which also illustrates pervasive indifference among the general population in Europe toward radio broadcasting. Official recognition of community radios is essential because, as we've seen, it allows specific policies to be delivered, it allows for community radios to be funded, and even in the absence of both, community radios are still asking for specific acceptance and recognition because community radios and association radios are based on a concept of membership. Community radios are made by the people who contribute to them, are made by the audiences that go to the trouble of finding them on the wavelengths and listening to their programs. And so there is a need for a sense of ownership of community radios to emerge if they are to be acknowledged and recognized. And they need to symbolically exist as separate entities from other commercial or public radios, because that's very important in the eyes of the people. One final thing. Regulating community radios helps us understand community radios as such, but also helps us as regulatory authorities. Because community radios are about helping and supporting different players, operators and stakeholders, rather than about restricting or binding these radios' activities. So it calls for positive-minded action on our part too. Thank you. Thank you, Bernard, for your cross-cutting analysis of community radio regulation aspects. Also a foretaste of a European Platform of Regulatory Authorities report to be published in November, and which will definitely be enlightening. Before we move on to a consideration of the four country experiences that are going to shed more practical light on this afternoon's topic, I'd like to maybe ask whether there are any questions for clarification in the room. Is there anything you haven't understood before we proceed to the country presentations? When is digital audio broadcasting going to at last be rolled out in Belgium? Well, we will say a few words about that tomorrow. Regulatory authorities are not exactly in the best of positions to discuss this in Belgium because it is a question of audiovisual policy, and that's very much in the hands of the government of the French-speaking community of Belgium, but we can rediscuss it tomorrow. Any other questions? Are there other explanatory factors for the large differences that are in evidence in the chart I showed at the beginning of my contribution? I forgot to say that that the historical background is very important. In Eastern European countries, for instance, NGOs are less developed or have been developed for a shorter period of time. And so liberalization after the Berlin Wall fell essentially was a thing for commercial radios. There was no contribution from civil society asking for community media to emerge in those countries, contrary to what happened maybe in Belgium, in Western Europe more generally, where there were already commercial radios. I believe Mrs. Bukowska is going to discuss that in greater detail. There is a cultural issue. In some Central European countries, there is no strong desire among the general population to develop community radios? Well, sorry, we didn't hear the question. That's something we can discuss with Mrs. Bogowska. There are public consultations in Poland, in the Czech Republic. Regulatory authorities there have done quite a lot of preparatory work to try and determine what the right conditions would be for community radios to emerge as a recognized format, in terms also of connections between private and commercial radios. And the problem is that this public consultation is not yielding a lot of input. There's very little public response to this consultation. And so there has to be awareness among the general population for community radios to evolve. And there may be a role for AMARC or Mediaform to try and identify what needs to be done upstream of such public consultations to ensure that there is a willingness to embark upon the community radio initiative.
Publicité, ça je pense que c'est un débat que passé. Je pense que la question c'est tout simplement de n'être pas but lucratif. Il y a beaucoup d'États où la publicité reste la seule façon de viabilité pour les radios. Il y a des limitations. Même en Italie, par exemple, les radios peuvent faire jusqu'à 5% de la grille de programme, ce qui fait quand même 3 minutes par heure, qui n'est pas tout à fait insignifiant, je pense. Et donc, je pense que la question non-advertisement est un peu fausse, parce que non-advertisement existe là où il y a des fonds pour les radios. Là où il n'y a pas de fonds pour les radios font advertisement, même si c'est des radios associatives.
I'm repeating what you said for translation. The complete absence of advertising is not a reality. It does exist. I listed it among the criteria. But on the whole, the requirement is not for a complete absence of advertising. It's more along the lines of strongly limiting advertising.